What can't you do, Jesus?
Somebody said, name. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. My name is Roger Charlie here in Okotox. It is 705. It should be 905 in the East Coast, New York, and 16 hours in Zambia, wherever you are listening us from. I am your host, Roger Charlie here. My colleague Nathan has taken not a day off, but he's on duty, on some duty, attending college graduations. You know, it is that time of the year. Welcome. We've been together for the last year. You've kept us company. And I want to believe you continue being with Zambia Block Talk Radio, your diaspora community station. So today we have some quite interesting stories, as always, coming from Zambia. But my main discussion in the next hour, we are going to be talking about the various forms of tourism. When you hear tourism, what do people in Zambia, especially when you hear tourism, it is mainly either wildlife or the Victoria Falls. But there is more to tourism, and some of it is quite basic, actually, and every one of us is able to participate into this 7.2 trillion with a T, 7.2 trillion industry. So before a lot of people join us, I'm going to play one more song, and when I come back, we are going to be talking about what is happening, current news, what is making current news in Zambia.
Be the voiceless woman.
Maybe the number one ragga dancer sensation alongside
Imukie Maki too.
Young Chefy, we all over this. The numero uno.
Bloodline.
Imama Tadi from Wakani.
You see that the woman needs your blessing. She makes your life
come.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. My name is Roger Charlie here in Okotox, Alberta, Canada. It is nice and warm, even though most of our farmers are complaining. They haven't had enough snow, so they are worried about the crop just as much as we are worried in Zambia about the rains. Here they worry about snow. A fella like me can do without snow, but the farmers need this snow for their spring crop. So today we have quite an interesting discussion. Let me say Nathan has taken a day off today. He is attending graduation. It is that part of the year. So Nathan will be joining us maybe later. In our first discussion, we're going to have just a round table to look at items, what is happening in Zambia. A very interesting discussion in open forum. We're going to be talking about tourism, the various forms of tourism. In Zambia, when someone talks about tourism, usually we are talking about wildlife and the Victoria Falls. But there is more to tourism than that, adventure tourism, business tourism, culinary tourism, cultural tourism, dark tourism, disaster. There is even what is called disaster tourism, Dr. Patrick. Like there was Katrina there. I hear Louisiana made a lot of money. People going there to see what happened, even though they don't allow people to go there. But there is what is called disaster tourism, doom tourism. People who do drugs. If you cannot smoke in Texas, maybe you need to tour California so you can go and smoke whatever they smoke. So this industry is big. We are talking about 7.2 trillion with a T. So we'll see what we can discover. Maybe, again, one of those sessions where we open our minds and, you know, choose to participate in one or two items. That is in next program in Open Forum. Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Moshe Bukine.
Twashuka wino. Every day, you are just adding on to your vocabulary, Dr. Patrick. Your vocabulary is just going up and up. I'm even getting scared.
Ulishani.
Yo, we know. Ulishani, Dr. Patrick. Ulishani. Every day, Dr. Patrick, your vocabulary is going up.
Yes. And Shani to my brothers and sisters on the phone.
Yes, let's hear what they have to say. Atishani, Matilda, Dr. Patrick is asking you, Mulishani uko.
Yeah, I'm quiet. Dr. Patrick, I can't remember who provoked Dr. Patrick, and now it's learn a Bemba word every day or every week.
Now it's getting out of hand.
Who provoked Dr. Patrick?
He's not getting out of hand.
We need to bring that person to class.
No, we are really impressed every weekend. So we need to throw it one here, one there. Yeah. Bayama, Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Good morning.
Mulishani wa Roger, Mulishani bonse, brothers and sisters.
We know. Welcome. My sister Namunjawa.
Good morning. Muzuhira wa Patrick.
You see, that is now lost in the debate. See where you are taking yourself. You brought this on yourself. You will not be defended. Muzuhire.
Don't call him doctor for nothing.
So, Dr. Patrick, Muzuhire is the Lozi from, or the district of Zambia, from Mongu, that area. So, Muzuhire, and the response is just Enisha. Is it Eni or Enisha? I don't know.
Enisha, or he can respond by asking me also, like Muzuhire.
Oh, Muzuhire.
Yes.
I'll send to you something small. I'll ask my sister Namunji to just a small greeting, then I can send you to you the email.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So next time would you be, Dr. Patrick. Bantipa, good morning. No. This is our Tonga brother. I'm sorry. This is our Tonga brother from Missouri.
I'm the only Tonga man. How are you?
We understand that. We understand. And I hope you can...
Do you understand that? How are you?
How are you? Well, don't be just a Tonga Bianchi by weight. Dr. Patrick here is proving it. When he comes every day in the morning, we are going local, pure Zambia. So you better start brushing up your language skills.
I better. You're absolutely right. If not, I'll be stranded at the airport.
You will be stranded, definitely. Lucky you, a lot of people speak the language. In Zambia, so you'll find your way. Like I said, in the next hour, we're going to talk about tourism. Now this is tourism, not the way we've covered it before. It is the varieties of tourism you find, and some of them are quite simple. can easily be done in the local. In Zambia, when you hear tourism, you always go to having someone come from Europe, visit, go and see the elephants or the Victoria Falls. But there is more to tourism than that. We hope today can be another one of those lessons where you can pick up one or two things and hope to implement it back home. Local news. What is happening in Zambia? Ms. Lucas, why don't you start the borrowing here? What is happening? I know I have a lot of news from home, but what is happening as far as you are concerned from Zambia? Let's hear. If not, Ms. Lucas, Bayama.
Yes, you know, I haven't been in Zambia for quite some time, but my news is always from Lusaka Post. And
yeah.
Sometimes every time I read it, I just shake my head. I don't understand what's going on. But I did see a clip about a, I don't know if, because I'm not on on Facebook. The policeman was bribed someone and was recorded, and he was almost about retiring. And he was begging people, like, they should not post that clip on but the person went ahead and do it. Did you see that, Roger?
No. I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No.
I thought it would be all over.
Is that the clip where there was a man, a police officer begging and saying, Mwichitefi? Is that the same one?
That's the same one. That's the one I'm talking about, yes.
No, I didn't know that was the background to that. It just didn't make sense when I saw it, so I deleted it.
Okay. And
yeah.
You know, yeah. So I wanted to find if you know, maybe because on Facebook there's more things like that than the way I get news sometimes.
Yeah. No, that one we did it. But there is information
okay,
coming
so,
from.
So what I'll do, Roger? What I'll do? I'll send you. What I'll
on,
do?
On
I'll send a clip of it and see if you can make sense out of it.
Sure. That would be good. Yeah. From Kalumbira Mines in this is a headline I think on Lusaka Times. Kalumbira Mine, the mines in Northwestern Province, they have notified government on its decision to lay off over 1,000 miners due to the proposed mining tax. Just that headline. First, Kalumbira Mine is owned by First Quantum Minerals, the owners of Kansanshi Mine in Solwezi. So the government, I'm not sure if they are proposing a tax. So as always, we are getting a threat to lay off 1,000 workers due to this tax proposal. Who wants to comment on that? Who wants to say something? Guy Pianki, what say you?
Who owns the mine, you say? One more time.
It's owned by First Quantum Minerals. This is a Canadian company based in Victoria. But they're in Kalumbira, in Northwestern Province. Kalumbira is a town near Mwinilunga, somewhere there.
Well, it's like this, Roger. If you got a company that's holding you hostage, first and most of all, those should be Zambians that's running those mines. But at this point, they're not. Then you have to have some very due diligence politics that would threaten to give the concession to another company that will be willing to do what you want them to do. I mean, that is very simple. If this Canadian company does not want to comply, if they're using these tactics of holding you hostage by threatening to lay off Zambian employees, then you have to take the next step and say you either do as we wish and or we will look to give this concession to someone else.
Okay. What are they saying? Dr. Patrick, any comment on that?
I would also seek to find out the financial holdings. How much investment does the Canadian company have in the country, in the government, in the economy?
I like that.
And then based on that, you can make informed decisions. If they own a 80% or 70% holding of the country, then you have to identify someone that would be able to come in and take up that slack if you were to force them to leave. Also, contracts. You have to look at the contracts and the extent and length of the contract. If you break a contract, that not only impacts nationally, it will impact globally. And they will look at contracts as null and void in Zambia if you were to break a contract. So look at the money, look at the holding companies, and look at the type of contracts before we make a move on replacing that company. Most likely, whenever a company threatens to lay off 1,000 or more people, they are seeking something. They're seeking a compensation, or they're seeking an easement in the original contract. So look at that.
Well, in this case, there's a tax proposal which they're trying to fight.
Okay. So that's what they're threatening. They say if you hit us with a tax, we'll have to lay off 1,000 people.
The government is proposing, I don't know if it's a mining tax increase, in minerals, mm-hmm. some tax which I haven't followed, but there is a tax mm-hmm. increase which the government is proposing. So the mining companies, as always, they are threatening with layoffs if this new tax is allowed to go through. In other words, they don't want this tax, and therefore they are threatening to lay off thousands of workers.
Okay. Then there's a midpoint. There's room for negotiation. Look at the taxes, where the taxes are going, and how much easement can a lesser tax be. Do you know how much the taxes is going to be?
No, I didn't. It's just a headline about this tax, but I should have found out what is the new proposal in the new budget about the taxes.
Okay. Uh-huh. There's room for negotiation. That's usually a negotiating ploy. If you tax uh-huh. me this amount, we will lay off these amount of people. So it's still room for negotiation. But I think the bottom line is there will be some layoffs. It may not be 1,000, but there will be some layoffs if the taxation goes through. Lesser taxes, lesser layoffs.
You know one other thing too, Roger and Dr. Patrick. In the initial agreements, in the initial setup of that agreement with that company or any company, that should be a provision where part of the revenue, either through just generated revenue or taxation, toward the training and the building of Zambians to run operations like that. If you continue on down the same arrangements that we have seen, then it's going to always be the same situation. You're going to have Zambian employees, and you're going to have foreign employers. So there should be some training aspects that comes out of that taxation through a surtax or whatever, where you're training Zambians to run those operations in the future, the near future, by the way, and also for investments too.
I agree with Piyanki. Roger, you would know this better than I. When the Zambian mines were owned by ZCCM, there was Zambian owned, Zambian run. We had working for ZCM was like the best thing next to sliced bread in Zambia. But we had very good training programs there. They treated their employees well. Their benefits extended all the way to the children who went to excellent schools. And, you know, you just wished your parents worked there so you can go to, you know, you could have those kind of benefits. So I believe those things were there. I just don't know, Roger, this is where you come in. What has happened? How did we slip and become the person who is asking for things that we own? You know, we are not in control. We're not owning. We are not showing that we want to own.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear Roger?
Yes, yes. Good question. That question from Ms. Matilda, what did you say?
What happened was we allowed foolishness coupled with crooks to be in. You see, Africa is the one country, one continent where being a crook is celebrated. So, you know, we promote crooks and dismiss those that want to be honest. That's just the bottom line, because we know some of these people. You know, for me, it boils down to this. When you make any kind of money in the economy and you can't explain how, and you were in charge of critical areas of the economy, somebody's going to begin to question you. Somebody has to be held accountable. You know, throughout, from who has been jailed because they, when we were dismantling the mines, somebody gave him sold the mines for $25 million, and somebody turned around and made $500 million within the next 3-4 years. Nobody has been held accountable. Right now, we're talking about those fire engines. $1 million for a fire engine. Who has been held accountable to date? Nobody. Nobody. Even if the contract was approved, okay, who approved it? That person, even if you can't return the money from the contractor, the person who said this is okay must be held accountable. Now, in Zambia, that doesn't happen. So as long as that doesn't happen, you're going to continue having these kind of things. In 1991, look, we had the best brains come from all over the world who are Zambians. The best brains. We had the best blueprint, darling of the West. Except we were not looking out for Zambian interests. You know. So we really have to do some serious soul searching. And there's got to be an economic revolution. This business of just... Because, look, even if we solve this problem today, 2 years from today, a year from today, it's going to arise. We need more money from somewhere. We're going to say taxes.
Yes,
they're going to hold us at ransom.
That is the thing.
Yeah, they'll continue holding us at ransom.
Yes.
You know. So we have... This is where government is... It's the responsibility of government to create an atmosphere which the local Zambians... You see, the government must create an atmosphere which the local Zambians can eventually take ownership of the economy. That's got to be facilitated by government.
Okay.
Roger.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead.
To throw in one more
question. Kelvin, you had your background on, so we could hear you. But go ahead, ma'am, and then Kelvin can come.
Yeah, before I made a comment about taxes, I just wanted to make a comment about Matilda. The thing with what Matilda said, I think that wasn't the government doing. That was the people demanding, especially those white workers that were working in the mines. They wanted better school for their children. They wanted clubs, they wanted good housing and stuff like that. They were involved in what the government then, what, you know, they had a voice. But compared to what we have right now, the Zambian worker has no voice. They cannot demand what they want for their children. They cannot demand good schools. They cannot, no one is going to listen to them. And, the only thing I know about business taxes, I'm a truck driver, and we have EFTA, that international fuel agreement, that's the taxes that we pay every quarter. The government comes, they send you the form, And if you don't fill, I mean, then you file your few taxes every quarter. If you miss, you know, they can give you another, you know, they can give you a grace period. And if you miss that, then they will come in and say, why, you know, taxes, they're not paid. And they find you, there's a penalty on that. But when you are paying that taxes, it's not only that you are paying that tax, you can, you know, you can voice out and you can see that the roads are being maintained. You know, you can see that we have good rest areas. You can see that we have, there's so many things that truckers, when we are out there, that we makes our jobs easier. But when you come to what you are talking about, the mines, mine they want to close, you know. Person who are demanding the quantum or whatever the company is to pay taxes, they are just there to demand taxes, you know, and they want just that to
What happens to the money? It's a question, it's a follow up on what your contribution. What happens to the money is something else. First and foremost, it is our money, first and foremost, government money.
Indeed.
Or our duty. Or should we all refuse to pay our taxes until the books are in good books? What should come first? Do we stop? I guess all these things work together. But for today's purpose, these multinational companies, the mines, especially, who take our minerals every day. I don't think that argument goes. They need to pay their tax, their fair share. And then we, the citizens, can fight our government how that money is applied. But the money should be paid, Ryan.
No, the money should be paid. But look at who's demanding the money from those companies. They've been paying the money for so long. What are they doing with that money? Just like Matuda, the Matuda question was, you know, what are they doing with the money? The only thing we are better is demanding taxes. We cannot even run the company, but we are putting so much pressure on that person. And say you are making too much money, but yourself, you can't run that company. Yourself can't extract the minerals from the ground. But Roger, to demand something is very easy.
Yes,
I know.
No, no, I'm saying there's an echo from your phone.
I don't know about that. Is there still an echo?
No, it has gone now. Although this time it has gone down. But go ahead.
Okay. No. But good morning, first of all. Compliments on the season. No. Your argument.
We should like to say hello at this our meeting place.
yes. But sir, your argument here does not hold water at all. Okay, we have to charge those taxes. Whether we misappropriate, whether we steal as a nation, we have to charge those taxes, period. Now, here's the problem with these multinational companies. They arm twist these African countries. Why? Because they know that they lay off 1,000 to 2,000 employees, it just doesn't become an economic problem. It becomes a political problem.
It's a political problem.
That? Yes.
Yeah.
That's why when we were selling those mines back in 1992 and beyond, right, we did not make economic decisions. As far as I'm concerned, those decisions were very political. You see that? And that is the biggest problem. Because if we meant to make economic decisions, we should have been prudent enough to say, okay, what's going to happen if we privatize this mine? What has this mine contributed in terms of, you know, community development? You see that those mines ran schools, they had sports programs, they had so many things, right? What are we going to look? What's the cost benefit of selling these mines? You see that to the Zambians, to the Zambian economy. We were in a hurry to offload those things because supposedly, we couldn't, liquefy them. You know what I'm saying? Which was stupid, right? Today, if there was a projection to say, look, copper prices may fluctuate, there's probably going to be a time when copper prices will go sky high and we'll take advantage of that and make profits. You see that? All we needed to do was put in stringent measures, put in management that can operate those mines at a very, very high and effective level. Today, when you bring in, it's like me bringing in my house here. I bring in Roger, who's the sponsor. He buys us food, he pays the light bills and everything. If Roger comes in and says, I don't want anybody eating food after 5 p.m., guess what? We're not eating food after 5 p.m. It's just like that.
Whether it is your home or not.
Yes, you see. Because Roger is the sponsor. It's my structure. He's paying my mortgage. He's buying my food. He's doing everything. Roger is the kingmaker. If I want to watch CNN as the owner of the house, he says, no. Let's watch MSNBC. We're going to switch to MSNBC. So these African countries needed to know this. And today you can't start fighting back these companies. I've said before on this show, these companies are not in Africa for a joke. They're there to expatriate every dime they can. Every dime they can. And the biggest problem, there's no data, evidence to show how much are they mining, how much are they selling, where is all this going? There's no data to show that. You see that? So when you as a country come up and say, we're going to raise, review the tax regime, the mining tax regime, right? These guys are looking at you as, based on what? You know what I'm saying? They don't have the information. They don't know. I'll give an example. Magufuli, when he came in, he discovered that there was, I think, Glencore. Glencore is Canadian company, Roger, right? They had underpaid taxes.
Glencore is Switzerland.
Switzerland, right? Switzerland. Mm-hmm. No, I think they have a subsidiary in Canada. I could be wrong.
They do. Everywhere.
Yeah.
They do.
Right. So he discovered that they had underpaid taxes for over 10, 15 years in Tanzania. And they owed the Tanzanian government $3 billion. Magufuli said, you pay us $3 billion. The owner of Glencore had to travel to go and meet and negotiate. They negotiated down and said, okay, this is how much we can pay you. You know what I'm saying? So how is it that we can't do this? It's just a matter of data, information.
Yes.
Thank you.
Roger, here's the thing, you know. The trouble is that we really want to get control, we have to be prepared that for a minute we may go through some hardships when we get rid of the mine owners. If they say if you raise the tax, we leave. We can tell them to leave. Within the next 2-3 years, we can rebuild that. Those Zambian mines were run by Zambians. We have got Zambians all over the world who are running things. The issue, the idea that Zambian does not have the manpower or the education, the knowledge to be able to run the mines is fake. The reasons why Zambians are not owning the mines is purely political decisions that are made for the politicians.
Maybe we just go with Kelvin's example of Magufuli. Some of the examples probably we are giving, they may be hard to implement. But let's go with Magufuli. What is so hard about our governments making a stand? Magufuli made a stand, and he told them it is either to add on to that, you keep your money here in Tanzania, or you leave. You go, and he meant it. What is
yes.
so hard for our leaders in Zambia to do that?
Well, can I say something?
Well, the thing is, Magufuli was prepared to say when they leave, the government ministers will not drive Mercedes-Benz, they will drive a Toyota Corolla because our budget will have to be slashed. You are prepared to make those cuts. You see, it's because the reason why they hold you at ransom, they think that you can't live without them. And if they leave, it means you won't have your bonuses, all your money, you politicians are pocketing. So you keep them there. But if you say, we don't care what we lose, you can go, we'll find somebody else. Then they come running to you to negotiate because they need those minerals that they are getting from your country. That's why they are there. They need the money they are making from Zambia. That's why they are there.
Could I say something, Roger?
Yeah, go ahead. This thing has not. This is not the first time. Before you say something from my sister Anna Munji here, let me just read it real quick. I thought it was valid. Why can't ZCCMHI invest in new mine run by local engineers? We still have a crop that was trained by ZCCM still around. They can use the dividends they get from these mines and get a partner who can pump in more money and get 5% of the shares. I am tired of this thieving mining gold, cobalt, but not declaring. Before Pianki says anything, the sad part, my sister Amunji here, even the, is it the 17% which remained in the mines? Our government, current government, they are so broke, they want to sell the remaining shares in the mine. That is how bad things are. Go ahead, Pianki.
Well, you know, somebody gave you an example of Tanzania.
Yes,
a company owed them. Yes. Yes, they say that the company owed them $3 billion in taxation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the tax is 10%, that means that the company made $30 billion. So, another thing, no need telling those companies that we would get somebody else because they all collude with each other. That's the way it works. They collude with each other. So if the others see that you've done this one,
this one, yes. Good point.
Yes, they would say, well, we're not working with you anyway. That's our friend. And quiet. And behind the doors, they would say that. So that's why it's very important. Another thing, if the mines are owned by Zambians, now you put the politics in place. Businesses are supposed to control the politics, Zambian businesses. And your politics are supposed to work for the best of the business, which is working for the best of Zambians. And that's why come I say that there should be a surtax. In the United States, my company, when I first started off, I had to rent cranes from another company because I didn't have my own cranes for lifting. Well, I could go out and buy my own cranes and deduct the cost of those cranes off of my gross taxes. That's the same thing that I'm saying that Zambia should have, but they should have a surtax on company that's in Zambia that's working, and that surtax should go toward the better improvement and development and innovation in your own industry for mining copper. It's the same thing. If you don't do it this way, Roger, you're never going to get any place because the lion's share of the profits of those resources is going elsewhere. They don't come back to Zambia. The only way they come back to Zambia in the form of finished products that you're going to pay more money for. When you build houses, you have to use copper piping. The copper piping is made someplace else, and it has an added value to it.
So, Dr. Patrick, unfortunately, this goes back to what Batsewe was talking about, because we as a nation, we've failed to manage the little bit money we are getting from the mine to reinvest back in the mines. We continue to be dependent on them, and they will continue treating us the way they treat us. We will literally continue being dependent on them, as Kelvin was saying. because we as a nation, we've refused to be disciplined. We have refused to take this money and say we are going to invest it, but rather we, in most cases, we misappropriate the money. So this is the result we have as a result of our mismanagement. Is that a fair characteristic, Dr. Patrick?
I wouldn't say mismanagement. I would say a form of thinking. Circular thinking is when you start at one place and you continue discussing the same thing and end up at the same place. We should engage in linear thinking, which is we have a problem, we solve the problem, we have another problem, we solve the problem, we keep going. We don't return to the same issue. And what we've discussed to this point is parts of linear thinking. We always talk about the problem, but we rarely talk about the solutions, and we should talk about the solutions. And we've heard some of the solutions on this show today, and what we have to do is continue to connect them. I think if we regress back to what we've done, such as the contracts and the agreements, it's going to be very difficult to alter, as Priyanki mentioned, and our other brothers and sisters talked about. I think what we need to do is we need to take the next step, which is return to the advisory council for the government. Advisors, most likely advisors that have nothing to lose. If we bring in advisors from the international community, the Zambian brothers and sisters from the international community, they don't have anything to lose when they put in their advice, because they are living outside of the community. Their advice is wedded in their heritage, so therefore their advice will be strong, with a strong foundation of heritage, of their Africanness. And when they advise the government, then the government will know that this is not to benefit them.
First Quantum investment in Zambia, Dr. Patrick, is about $4 billion in Kalumbila, $4 billion. Are they willing to walk out from that investment? Or these are just threats? We should just have a backbone to stand up to them.
Well, remember what Priyanki said. There's two things. One, what Priyanki said is there is a subliminal collusion, or even more, it's a covert collusion in which the companies know what the other companies are doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, any business, either here in the United States or in the global community, they always put up the high end in hopes to negotiate for the low end. So there's two things going on. One, they know you won't walk away from it. And two, they're trying to reduce the type of taxation you're putting on, because the board members are looking for investment, increased investment. So therefore, whenever one talks about taxes, they're losing their investment. So therefore, those CEOs and COOs are looking to mitigate the amount of taxes or the amount of money that they're going to lose for the board. So there's two things again. One is there is covert operations and discussions, knowing that if you impact one company, they're going to join with that company to make sure you don't do it again. And the second thing is that they're negotiating a lower taxes. They know they're going to pay increased taxes, but they're getting the lowest mark that they can get.
And Dr. Pachter,
Ms. Lucas, now I think we've said what should happen. Do you think, Ms. Lucas, government should give in, or should stand their ground to these threats by our minds? What do you think we should do as a nation? Ms. Lucas, and then Titus can talk about it as well.
All right. I will keep my answer brief because I have background noise.
Okay.
So I think taxes are being owed. They should be paid. And
no, it's a tax increase. They are not owing. It's a tax, tax increase, meaning it's a future tax.
Ah, haven't made up my mind on that. Because I see benefits of having a tax increase. But if, I mean, and the benefits I don't think have been laid out on our side in Zambia. So I'm a bit...
okay, that's okay.
Okay,
Roger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the meeting, and Dr. Patrick, you may listen to this. The meetings are always held to solve problems. Where are the meetings to set goals? The goal should be that you need them no more, because no matter how much you're taxing, the tax is only a fraction of the gross that they're making. If you control all of the gross that they're making, then a lot of the problems associated with not having enough revenue would start to diminish. Where are the goals? The goals should be that you need them no more because Zambians have replaced them. Set the goals and stick to the goals.
Thank you to what you're talking about. Don't you think those are long-term and are future goals? But as of 2019, starting 2019, there should be a new tax in Zambia. What should be the reaction of our government? Should we walk away and say,
well,
either you pay or... Those what we're talking about, they are okay, but they are not
things
which affect next year's budget.
When I first started working, Roger, which is a long, long time ago, the tax was a lot less than what it is now. Taxes never stop going up. There's always going to be a need for some more taxes. So, but what I'm saying is that as long as you have a entity that's taking the lion's share out of your country, you're always going to be on the need more, need more, need more.
Roger, just to add on what Yankee is saying, like when he says the goal, at the end of the day should be that we don't need that. We ourselves run the company so that they are Zambian owned. That should be the long-term goal. So now the decisions that you make in the interim, all of them must be leading to you towards you achieving your long-term goals. So it could be like, okay, if we don't increase your taxes, how much retention of the profits that you make, can you increase on what is spent in Zambia? Can you increase on the training and equipment
in Zambia? In reality, Rachari, do you think it's realistic for Zambians to own a company? What is our record on Zambian-owned or Zambian-run entities in our country?
I think long-term, that's the best plan. If it's not practical today, that's what we should get, because we can't fold our arms. And so we are saying we shall forever be slaves. Even in America, if you withdrew, if there was no consequences for anyone who evades tax, if I can go out there and make $10 billion and I don't have to account for anybody, I can bankrupt Ford Motor Company and nobody sends me to jail, it would be the same as what's going on in Zambia.
Yes.
Anywhere in the world. So we have to, you know, we try to fix. To fix it, we've got to go to the root. Somebody stole money from Zambia Airways. Who went to jail? Somebody bought the car engine.
It's like we have too many things which require fixing.
But we have to start from somewhere. We can't fold our hands. And for Roger, consequences is one of the first places we must start. Somebody approved $1 million for a fire truck. They should go to prison. If that set one example, there's going to be cut your corruption even by half. But as long as we have stopped talking about it, so do you think they're going to be afraid? So you can insult President Lungu as much as you want. He knows you are going to forget about it in 4 months. You'll be talking about something else. Meanwhile, the $1 million is pocketed for a fire truck, which they spent $10,000 on. They have pocketed the rest. So we've got to look at real solutions, not just smart analytics, practical things that you are yakujero and our mama kumushira mukaka, because they are evil.
You know, I agree with you, everyone here, 100%. Part of our problem, I think, comes I don't know. Bakalondi, good morning.
Good morning, Roger. Good morning. Sorry, I was on.
Yes.
Good morning.
My children for leadership with Tampi.
I agree 100% with Bianchi for the first time. Thank you. You know what Bianchi is talking about? No. Let me say this. You know what I'm talking about? What Bianchi is saying is that we have a problem in terms of even how we measure development or production in Zambia. When you have a product, all the products are foreign owned, and you're only getting the tax, and the money does not land in your country, the money does not circulate in your country, then you are not measuring GDP. Because now the GDP you are measuring is for that country where the products are going. Completely,
yes,
because
and the money.
That money is, nothing is ours at all. You see? So how do you measure GDP? If the money is circulating in the country, and you and me can go and borrow from the banks, because the money is in the banks, then we can develop our country. But if the money goes and stays in Europe, it's developing Europe, how is that money being counted as part of GDP? The tax? The tax is not what is counted as GDP. It is the product that comes and circulates in the country. If it goes out, it is GNP. America is counting GNP, but Europe is counting GNP, because those monies can be outside, but they are working for the benefit of the American corporation. But what about us? How do we define GDP in Zambia if nothing is ours? And everything that is ours is taken out and worked for other people. Then we have a problem. I think Bianca is on the point at this moment. We don't have the luxury of waiting for long term, because we are not going to develop. And as we continue waiting, then our people are going to continue suffering. That's where the problem is. And unemployment will continue to be the way it is. Because
a lot of things have come into this matrix, Kelvin. When we started, at one point we thought it was just an issue of taxes, but an element of foreign ownership has come in, an element of why we cannot own this thing has been also highlighted in form of corruption. So there's quite a bit we need to work on. When you hear companies the mining especially are not paying their taxes, like Mabat said, what are the current taxes doing? If we are not fixing our house today, this is why we are having this problem we are talking about today. In the next hour, we'll talk about the various forms of tourism. Before we do that, President Lungu calls the Chinese as cockroaches. Ooh, what happened there? Somebody should come and explain. Please join me in the next hour, and then we will look at the other issues. Thank you for calling in. Please don't go away. Don't go away. Let's call in, and we look at
Chelsea, we all over this. The number uno.
Bloodline. That your woman needs your blessing. She makes your life.